We're going to be in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, an exciting time in the New Testament church. And in Acts chapter 3, we find Peter and John is making their way to the temple. A normal, everyday thing, if you will. Something that wasn't just out of the ordinary. Normal practice as they make their way to the temple for a time of prayer. And they come along and they find someone laying there. Someone the community knows. Someone that everyone is familiar with. But yet something happens on this day that leaves them with an impression and an understanding that the power of God is able to change any and all things in our lives. In Acts chapter 3, we're going to begin with verse 1. And as we do, we see that says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said," I know this is familiar, right? "'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that you have, that you're able to change us, to conform us into the image of your Son. Something that we never could do and cannot do today, but by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus that we're able to be forgiven, that when we exercise faith in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we surrender our lives to you in all things, allowing you to work, allowing you to live in and through us. Help us to understand the reality of the power that lays at our fingertips if we would just simply trust. Teach us to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The key verse we just read, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" That's exciting, isn't it? Oh, it was exciting that day. It was exciting that day. This man never walked a day in his life. He was born lame from his mother's womb, so he never touched the ground with his feet and walked under his own power. But they carried him every day. What better place to go to try to find help? What greater place to go to receive money to survive? You understand that many times this is the only way that they survive was out of the generosity of others. Now sometimes we find that there are people in our societies today that they just simply live off of others while they're able-bodied. This was not the case with this man. He was not able to do anything of his own, and so he depended completely upon the generosity of others. So what better place to see, to be seated, is at the temple, at the main entrance going into the temple. Surely God's people would be generous, and many were. In fact, they laid him there every day, so he got familiar with everyone that come in and out. Familiar with the faces that he saw. Familiar with the faces that were willing to come. Maybe they even had a conviction of their own heart to make sure that they would give him something each and every time that they would come. Everybody knew him. Spent his whole life there begging alms. But notice what he says. "Silver and gold I don't have." I can relate to that. How about you? Honestly, there's a lot of things I would love to do. I just can't sometimes. I think we can all relate to that. But notice what Peter says. "But what I do have, I'll give you." You know what? We can't give what we don't have. Amen? Peter was offering the power of God, but yet Peter and John understood the power of God. Now, sometimes you may be thinking that we're not just talking about an arrogance. We might be thinking, well, they're disciples. Of course they have. But my friend, I'm telling you today is what they had is if you're a child of God, you have genuinely trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He has miraculously saved you, you have within you that same power that God has blessed them with. Are you with me? 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John relays that power. 1 John was written to new believers. Some of them are questioning, how do I know that I'm a child of God? How do I know that I'm truly saved? If you've ever had doubts, if you ever had questions about your salvation, 1 John, the epistle, 1 John is your book. You need to go there. And here's what's exciting. It's not that long of a book. You can literally read it in one setting in less than an hour. I'm a slow reader, and I can read it that fast. But you can absorb, and it will tell you literally in outline form, if you're a child of God, this is what will be going on in your life. But we find out very quickly, it's not things that you can accomplish, but what God is doing in and through you as you surrender to your Savior. You with me, church? But John opens the letter giving the very basis of what they're offering and the authority by which he gives. Notice what he says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Do you understand that we're thinking, well, yeah, they got to be with Jesus. They got to see everything. My friend, God has preserved his word faithfully so that you too can handle the word of life. We are seeing Jesus in the written word. And if you don't believe me on that, just go to John's other book, the Gospel of John, and he'll tell you in the first chapter. Amen? Glad you're with me. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard. Hang on, lost my place. We declare it to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Child of God, there is no question of the power of God. They were eyewitnesses of. Now think about this for just a moment. I want to challenge you. You cannot give what you do not have. If you are not growing in the power of God, He's changing your life. He's changing your thinking. He's changing everything that you do. He's blessing. He's protecting. He's prodding you along. If you are not experiencing that, then you have nothing to share. I'm afraid that oftentimes we don't have a testimony because we're not growing. What has God done for you in the last week or two? Now, you keep to yourself just a minute. I have found within myself that sometimes I want to measure and I'm just kind of looking for things to happen. When in reality that I found that in my life at that time, I needed to be more intentional in my seeking of the Lord and seeking what He wanted to do in and through me, and that He began to push me into uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable places. He was calling upon me to sacrifice and move things out of the way so that He could fill them. Scared to death, wondering if I was going to be able to make it through, wondering if I'm going to have enough, is everything going to be met? But He pushed me to a place of faith to allow Him to take over. And I begin to see then the power of God answering my questions, overcoming my fears, and doing what I could not do. That's why we call it the power of God, because He does what we cannot. And as John was relaying, we have seen. We have heard with our own ears. In fact, we have even handled the very word of life. Now, John could really say that. He laid upon Jesus' breast as they were at the Last Supper, right? John was very dear and near to Christ, more so than any of the other disciples. And yet John is the one relaying to us that they know the power of God. I'm asking you as believers today, do we really know the power of God? Or do we just kind of sing about it? We just kind of talk about it. But we really never surrender to it to the point of sacrifice and giving up on ourselves to allow Him to have control. We give as was given to us. John said, Peter said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give it to you. Now we're talking about seeing God working in our life, changing us. Now we have something to give, right? Do you know why people today have no interest in the church? There's no power. We've grown complacent. We've grown comfortable. We find everything else to do but worship the infinite, eternal, holy, just, and wrathful God. We find everything else to do but submit and surrender to the King of Glory. You can amen that, because we just sang, there's nothing but you. Now we say that, but do our lives say that? You know, I can remember as a kid, my mom would correct me and, you did something wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I did something wrong. And she'll say, I could see it in your eyes. You don't mean it. How do you know what I mean? Moms, you know, don't you? You ain't pulling no wool over my eyes. That's another old saying. You're not fooling me. You're lying. Oh, no, I'm not lying. Now you just lied again. Maybe I need to punish you again for that one. Mm-hmm. All right, I don't care. You know what? God can look into the very deepest parts of our soul and our hearts. And He knows exactly what's going on, doesn't He? Thankfully, He does. Maybe there are times that we just need to lay ourselves bare before the Lord and say, God, just like David said, search me, try me, know my ways. See if there's any wicked way in me. Wow, that's a tough prayer, Pastor. Can I just talk about His love? Yeah. Can I just talk about what He's going to give me? Can we just talk about heaven? That's more comfortable. I don't want to talk about what I should be doing. Am I the only one up here? We all deal with that, don't we? Well, you're not going to feel the power of God until you go through the fire. You're not going to feel the healing until you're broken. You're not going to feel the joy until you first feel the sorrow of your own sin. And the last part of that, when John says, we give you these things so that your joy may be full. We run after everything else. Wonder why our joy is not there. Because we don't follow the biblical principles and follow after the Lord and have the power of God working within us. We keep trying to do it all ourselves. Once we've trusted in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, once we have decided to follow Him, I want to read the verse that I started with again in 2 Peter 1 and 1 through 4. I want us to read that again. I just so desperately want you to grab on to this verse. Write it down. You need to go home and read it. Meditate on it. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Do you know what Peter is saying? I have sold myself to Christ. I am His slave for Him to do whatever He wants to do with me. Now that's a bold statement coming from a guy that just a few years before completely denied Jesus. Do you remember? Warming his hands around a fire. Jesus is on His way to be crucified. He's going to die. And people say, hey, aren't you a Galilean? You talk just like Jesus. No, not me. I don't know that guy. And he denies Him. And then a young lady comes by. Your language gives you away. We know that you're a follower. No. And then he cusses to try to throw him off track. Oh, second time. Third time they ask him again, are you with Jesus? Oh, curses and no. And on the third time, the cock crows in the background. And Peter breaks down. You know why? Because Jesus told him the night before, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, oh, no, not me, Lord. I'll go to the death with you. And I want to tell you something. I think Peter meant it. I think with every fiber of who Peter was, as big of a mouth as he was, jumping out, had something to say, I truly think that he wanted to die with his Savior. But Peter was depending upon himself and not what the Lord told him. It's a lot of things that we want to do, but not until you allow Jesus to do it will it ever get done. To those who have obtained like precious faith, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's by His righteousness, not our own. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How is it multiplied to you, church? By the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We don't understand the peace. We don't understand the grace if we don't grow in a knowledge and understanding of who Jesus and who God is. As His divine power is given to us, all things that pertain to life, godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us, and it's a glorious calling. It was done by glory and virtue by which have been given to us. It's already been given to us that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. You can't give what you don't have. I come today and I wanted to share kind of a blessing that I got this year. And I had so many, I thought there's no way I'm going to eat all these. And it hit me. Oh yeah, we got our pulled pork sandwiches. What goes better with a pulled pork sandwich? Now, I haven't tried this. This may be catastrophic. It's already starting that way. Who wants one now? I really want to throw one bad. Oh, I'm teasing. I'm not going to. I didn't think you'd take me up on it so quick. I'm afraid it might come back. You know, I play those games with my kids, and they're like, ooh, that means we're throwing at everything. And they're like, oh, hold your fire. Isn't that a mess of tomatoes you ever seen? I threw probably half of this back in the garden because they just got so big they busted open and the bugs got a hold of them. You can't give until you have. I've got enough here for everybody. Everybody. In fact, I'm hoping some of you will take them home if there are any left over. You can't give unless you have. I'd like to tell you that, man, with my great gardening skills, I made all this happen. I'd like to tell you that I tilled the ground and, oh, I fertilized it and, man, everything was just perfect this year and, oh, I cultivated it and I got there and I trimmed them. I figured out you got to trim tomato plants. They go nuts if you don't calm them down a little bit. But you know what? I didn't do a single thing. In fact, I didn't even plant them. Do you believe me? I'm not lying to you. I had a whole bunch of these left over last year. I had a little garden spot in the backyard and I thought, well, I'm going to do a little compost pile. So I just threw it all in a compost pile. I had 4 tomato plants came up voluntarily. The only thing I did is like, maybe I ought to tie them up and see what they'll do. Holy mackerel. I mean, this isn't even the beginning of, I've got batches like this 4 or 5 times this year, eating tomatoes until they're coming out my ears and said, hey, does somebody want some tomatoes? This is probably the last batch, so you might want to get some. But you can't give what you don't have. How many of you was craving tomatoes when you first come in? Are you craving them now? Man, they're even good without salt, but they would be better with salt. Isn't it interesting? You got excited about tomatoes while I'm up here eating tomatoes in front of you. Can you imagine what would happen in our spiritual lives? Our community might get excited about God if they begin to see the power of God working in and through us. My second point, the power of Christ brings genuine change to our lives. Then Peter said, remember, Peter and John's come in, we don't have money. But what I have, I give to you, right? Power of God. But look what happens. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of so-called faith healers that are going on today that, you know, somebody gets up out of a chair and they barely walk. Woo! That wasn't the case. This guy was jumping. He was running. He was probably hanging on Peter and John and just, woohoo! Can you believe it? never walked a day in his life. How? And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, they weren't praising yet, but he was. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I want you to picture this for a moment. How incredible that it is that it wasn't just an act of healing, but it was an act of him trusting in what? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Faith brought this healing, but it was the avenue to allow the power of God to rest upon this soul. Now, here's something I want us to think about for a moment, is that when we look at this, this was one of the sign gifts, if you will. We believe that many of these healing powers went with the apostles. They were using this to affirm the gospel. They were using it to affirm that we proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one that has been sent of God. And when he died for you. He died as the Son of God, perfect and holy and just. Well, many didn't believe it. So God endued them with power. Take my power and you go and demonstrate that I have sent you. This is no different than the prophets that were given in the Old Testament. They were given a message. And the test of a true Old Testament prophet is that whatever he says happens. If it does not happen, then I did not send him. Take him out of the city and stone him. Pretty serious business, isn't it? Maybe we should consider how that we present God's word. But here's the reality. It is the mark. Are you truly a child of God? Now, we may not raise someone up and heal them physically, but as a child of God, we still take the power of God that souls may be saved. But can I impress upon you? Sometimes I think that we withhold when we pray over our loved ones. We pray over our friends. We need to pray passionately that God can and does heal even yet today. It's just many times we don't ask. We're doubting the power of God. We doubt the power of God when we have a lost friend that we've witnessed to for so many years and they won't budge. We doubt the power of God and we stop going. We stop asking. We stop trying. But here's the reality. The power of God brings genuine change to our lives. This man was saved, he was healed, and there was no doubt. Would you agree? By the grace of God, this man was healed. So I want you to think about something in John chapter 1, verse 12, the Gospel of John. We see that he reminds us. So was it by anything that the man had done? No. Was it by what Peter or John had done? No. It was by the power of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. How sad it is that we think that we're going to develop ourselves to become a Christian. We think that we're going to live just right to become a Christian. We think that there's something good that we can do to become a child of God, when in reality, you have nothing to do with it. But the fact that we failed, amen? But when we become a child of God, God has given us the power of his Son, to be declared the children of God. In fact, when he uses that phrase, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become. The right to become. That right means the power of God, the authority of God. God declares it. We don't argue our way into heaven. We don't convince ourselves that we're going to heaven. We don't do good things to try to show or make it look like we're going to heaven. But God declares us his child at the time of faith, at the time of surrendering to him, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit becomes the label, the seal upon us that we are his. The power of God. Are you with me? So sometimes we need to get it out of our heads when we get an opportunity to worship, when we get an opportunity to share, when we get an opportunity to witness. It's not based on what you can do. It's based upon the story that's already been fulfilled. So why don't we rely upon the power of God? What was the first thing that the man did once he was healed? Yeah, he ran into worship, didn't he? You know why? He's never been in the temple before. You don't let cripples in the temple. Now, I know that sounds cruel, but you know what the Mosaic law was concerned with? Protecting the holiness of God. But it's a beautiful picture. You know what? God would never allow us to worship him, but Jesus changed that. Jesus changed that. He didn't change it because he just said, God, we'll just ignore what they've done. We'll just ignore that. Sweep that under the rug. It'll be okay. That's not how it happened, was it? Jesus actually went to the cross, perfect and sinless, and he took our sin upon him. He who knew no sin, never committed a sin, became sin for us. When we don't worship, we not only ignore all that, but we insult the grace of God. We devalue it. We make it less than it really is. Do you understand? As we grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, we grow in that understanding. We grow in the understanding and the experiencing of that power. And as we experience that power, we become a testimony to others. Think of what this is. This man ran through. He's jumping around. It says in the scripture he was holding on to Peter and to John. He was so excited, and everyone began to notice, hey, that's the one that sat out there by the gate. And they were amazed. They were astounded of what has happened. Can you imagine for a moment that as this man sat by the gate for so many years, many knew him. Maybe some were compelled by the heart that I want to give to him every time that we can. Maybe the husband and wife said, we're going to set apart money each and every week, and we're going to give it to him because he needs help. And as he comes in this day, he's leaping and praising. He's not at the gate anymore, amen? He's coming in. And as he does, can you imagine as he's bumping shoulders and recognize, I appreciate you giving me so much, but guess what? You don't have to give anymore. God's made me whole. All that I needed, I've got now. He may bump into others and fear, you never give me anything. You sneered at me. You made fun of me. But guess what? God loves you anyway. Amen. Oh, there's a testimony. Why? Because the power of God changes everything. It's not you changing it. It's you surrendering and allowing the power of God to live in and through you. Are you with me, church? Man, how exciting this is. We think it's just a New Testament thing that we can never touch, when in reality, it's already touched our lives. My last point, look deeper into Peter's evangelistic message, and I'm kind of running close on time, but thankfully, lunch is close. Verse 11, he says, now as a lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Now, just like any good preacher would do, Peter saw an opportunity. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness that we have made this man walk? Have you heard that from your friends? Oh, you just think you're better than me. Oh, you think you can do it better than me. You don't understand. I can't. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Oh, now it's getting serious, isn't it? But you denied, look at 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. We're undeserving, aren't we? We say that they're the ones that crucified him, but it was our sin that crucified him, amen? We're just as guilty as the Roman soldier that held the hammer and drove the nails into his hands and feet. We're just as guilty. Verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith, in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. Paul goes on, he says, now, brethren, I know that you did this in ignorance. But can I tell you that ignorance of God's law and ignorance of God's plan, does that mean it means that we can have forgiveness, but it doesn't mean that it will excuse us. Amen? have a policeman pull you over and say, do you know how fast you were going? Oh, I was doing 35. Did you know it was 25? No, I didn't do that. You can't write me a ticket. See how that works. The same way that we stand before God. Oh, God, I didn't know you sent your son. No excuse. Oh, I didn't know that I blasphemed. I didn't know that I was a sinner. Can you just let me off? No. Ignorance doesn't excuse us, but it does bring us to a place of repentance. Amen? And so here was their opportunity. So Peter tells them that all that Jesus had done, that it would have been prophesied from the very beginning. The prophets spoke of him and all that he would do. Did you know that there were some 330 prophecies of Jesus personally, and he fulfilled every one of them? He fulfilled 32 prophecies on the very day that he was crucified. Isn't that amazing? It's telling me that there's not much excuse that we can dismiss who Jesus is. Amen? And so he comes to them. Now your response. He says you need to repent. Verse 19, he said, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord and that he may send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. What does it mean, repent? We change our mind. We change our thinking. You know what, folks? Many times that we fail to receive salvation as we convince ourselves that God will never forgive me. When in reality, he will. He will. And then once he has forgiven us, we must continue to change our thinking from my way to his way. And you may think, well, what is his way? We go right back to Peter, 2 Peter. Knowledge is gained by knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. And that leads to the power and the understanding of all that he's given us and thus using all that he has given us that it may bring us joy. Church, I think it's a valid question is that we so desperately want the power of God, but as I mentioned before, are we willing to be broken that he may mend us back together? For many that are struggling with salvation, many that are struggling with accepting the Lord as their Savior, they withhold because when they get to the point of the conviction of sin, they feel guilty, they feel troubled, they're scared, and they don't want to admit it, they don't want to accept it. But yet that repentance, that conviction of heart, that difficulty you struggle with, that is what you must deal with in order for it to go away and be relieved. You can't make it go away by ignoring it. Maybe you're even at a point in time that you've professed Jesus before, but there's never been a life change. There's never been a change in your thinking and a change in your life and never been a change in your heart. My friend, as this man experienced, you cannot come to know Jesus and walk away the same. He will change everything that you are. He'll change everything that you ever want to be. He will take some of the things you're most passionate about and you'll walk away. I don't want anything to do with that. It keeps me from gaining what Jesus can do. Sobering thought, isn't it? Oh, how indebted we are to him. But do you realize that when we come and we pay that homage, that respect, that worship, boom, he empowers us to do it again. He empowers us to do more. He empowers us with his own presence. And he takes us to places we could never go on our own.